He is risen. Amen? Amen to that. That's really great. Well, it's really a joy to be here today together. It's been 2 years since we were here the last time. And it's really a joyous time just to celebrate and to say He's alive. He's risen, He's alive. And we certainly can celebrate about that. If the back can just change over the picture, if you don't mind, thank you. We'd appreciate that. Let's just bow in prayer as we give thanks and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pause today, Lord, to declare He is risen. Father, we thank You that we can celebrate this fact that You are alive. And Father, we thank You that we can celebrate the fact that because You are alive, Lord, that we have life indeed. Lord, we pray that we would not just know the truth of Easter Friday, but Father, that we would live in the glory and the wonder of Easter Sunday. Father, we pray as Your people that we would know and experience You in a true and living way. Father, we thank You for this day. We just glory in You. And Lord, we pray that You would just minister to us as we come around Your word and reflect on Your goodness. We pray this all in Your precious name. Amen. Amen. If the folk can just switch over the camera at the back, or the screen at least. We need to change over to 3. Thank you very much. It really is great just to celebrate. And as I mentioned on Friday, it's been 2 years since we've been together. And it's really just wonderful to be together as God's people. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, that'll be our reading for today. Thank you. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. I must take my mask off. My wife is waving at me. Thank you, Marlene. Okay. Right. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Just one verse this morning. Romans 10 and verse 11. As the scripture says, anyone, take note, not some, but anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. December 31st, 2001, 23:30, there are some moments that people will never forget, and this will be a moment I never, ever will forget. My son Timothy had just been born about 3 days earlier. The new year, 2002, was just about upon us, and it was time to celebrate. And so I collected my briefcase at home, and I put a bottle of, take note, Moni's grape juice inside, together with 2 champagne glasses, and I was off to see Marlene at 23:30 at the maternity home. She was still there. Now, we need to put this in perspective because Namibia is laid back. We were in those days in Namibia, and Swakopmund is even more laid back than Namibia. And I entered the maternity home at 23:30 with briefcase in hand. Now, when I entered that door, the matron looked me up and down. I mean, wondering why you've got a briefcase. I didn't pause because if I knew I did, I might be stopped right at the door and she might inspect what was in my briefcase. And after all, I was a pastor, a rev, albeit in very casual attire. Besides, pastors do visit people at strange and odd times, don't they? And this was a maternity home. And of course, this was my family. Well, I got into the ward or the private room, and out came the Moni's grape juice. It was grape juice, just by the way. And just in case you're thinking it's something else. I mean, pastors don't drink in public, and this was a hospital. Now, I must add that this Moni's grape juice was a special Christmas edition with cork and wire. And so I began to unwrap the wire, undid the wire. I edged up the cork, as you usually do with bottles of grape juice. But little did I know that this bottle of Moni's grape juice had fermented, unknown to me. And as I edged up that cork, just about the top, it exploded. The cork shot up. Not only the cork shot up with gusto, but the fermented grape juice, to my horror, was dripping off the grid lights in the top of this room. But that wasn't all. It started dripping onto the linen of the bed, covered in red grape juice. But that wasn't the worst, because the cork shot up, came down, hit the glass. Glass fell over, smashed glass all over the floor. My worst fear at this point was the matron. In my thoughts of horror, what if the door opened and the matron came in to check what was going on with this guy, this pastor, who had come in with a briefcase? Well, moments later, my worst fears were realized as the door opened and there stood the matron. How often we feel shame. Sometimes it's justified and other times not. Shame is a powerful emotion that's caused by the consciousness of guilt, shortcomings, or impropriety. When you get caught for crooking the tax man and your friends at church find out, you're going to feel shame because of guilt. Or imagine you're running the 3,000 meter Olympic race. In a small country like Namibia, you're the absolute star. You're the best by far. But when you compete with the best around the world in front of millions and millions of viewers, and the competition is so tough that when it comes to the last lap, you're the only one running. Depending on your frame of mind, you could feel shame because of your position in the race, or should I say your lack of position. Or imagine you're invited to a party. You think it's a casual bride, so you dress up in your shabby old pants and a t-shirt, only to discover it's a formal dinner dance. You feel shame because of impropriety. Of course, there are two types of shame. There's well-placed shame, and there is misplaced shame. And when we look at Scripture, we certainly see this. Well-placed shame is when we dishonor God, when we caught in sin, while misplaced shame is when we perhaps we honor God, but we are maybe embarrassed because of what other people think of our Christian testimony. It's Friday, and it's a day of shame. To the Jew, the cross was the greatest shame of all, because according to the law, Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23, anyone who hung on a tree was under God's curse. The Romans reserved the cross for criminals who were convicted of murder, rebellion, or armed robbery, provided that they were also slaves, foreigners, or other non-persons. Cicero described crucifixion as a most cruel and disgusting punishment. He later declared, "To bind a Roman citizen is a crime. To flog him is an abomination. To kill him is an act of murder. To crucify him is what? There is no fitting word," he said, "that can describe so horrible a death." It's Friday. The anguish began the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is deeply distressed, and he cries out, he prays to the Father. "Father, if you are willing, Let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. The cup is a cup of suffering. The denial and desertion of his closest friends. Peter, perhaps his closest disciple, he doesn't deny Jesus one time. He doesn't deny Jesus two times. But Peter denies Jesus three times. The physical suffering, the torture of the scourge, the thorn of crowns on his head as the blood poured down over his face. As Jesus walks down the Via Dolorosa, he collapses under the weight of the cross. The stripping, the nailing of Jesus to the cross, the torture of hanging from the cross, the suffocation as his legs could no longer hold him up on that cross. Very interestingly, the gospel writers never highlight the physical torture of the cross. The mockery and abuse of his enemies. He saved others, but he cannot save himself. But more than anything else, more than the suffering was the spiritual agony. As Jesus bears the sins of the world and enduring the wrath of God the Father, the divine judgment that your sin and my sin so deserve. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 said the following. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen to that. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for you, so that in him you might be the righteousness of God. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Let's say it on the right. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Say it with me on the right. It's Friday, but right, Sunday is coming. The Apostle Peter put it like this, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Isaiah captures the horror of the cross in his prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. The Father turns his face as he cannot look at sin. He cannot look at his son because Jesus is carrying our sins. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. This side needs to wake up a little bit. It's Friday and Sunday's coming. The agony of that Friday, 2 millennia, begins to unfold. Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, betrays Jesus to the priest out of greed for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. The priests deliver Jesus over to Pilate out of envy. And Pilate hands Jesus over to the soldiers out of cowardice. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. The gospel writers tell us that at the Jewish third hour, in other words, 9 o'clock, Jesus was crucified. As the crowd jeers and curses, Jesus carries his cross down the Via Dolorosa out of the city to Golgotha, the place of the skull. The soldiers strip Jesus down, and amidst the pain and the suffering as they nail him to the cross, Jesus cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The soldiers gamble for his clothes. Oh, the shame of the cross. It's Friday and Sunday's coming. Some of the women who were close to Jesus are afar off, they're weeping. The crowd remains to watch. Jesus commends his mother Mary to John's care and John to his mother's care. The religious leaders, they sneer. He saved others, but he can't save himself. The crowd thins out. It's the sixth hour now. It's noon. And darkness comes over the land. At the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, the shadow of death casts its shadow over the Savior of the world. And Jesus cries out the cry of dereliction. My God, why have you forsaken me? As Jesus quotes the saying from Psalm 22, a messianic psalm, the depth, and it's a prophecy, by the way, Psalm 22 of Jesus, concerning Jesus at Calvary. As he quotes the psalm, the depth of the shame of the cross becomes apparent. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And you lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. It's Friday, and Sunday is coming. Matthew 27:46, the words of Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? The burden of sin is now upon the Savior as he carried my sin and your sin. And as the Father turns his face, Christ becomes a propitiation, the scapegoat that satisfies the wrath of God for the sin of mankind. The Bible writers capture the truth of Calvary. Romans 5 and verse 8, "For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Mark 10:45, "The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom or a payment for many." Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us. In other words, Christ, and this is the picture of redemption, Christ bought us back from the slave market of sin. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law because it finds us guilty by becoming a curse for us. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for sins once for all. It's the final sacrifice. Once for all, the righteous, in other words, Jesus for the unrighteous, that's us, to bring you to God. The horror and the gravity of our sin becomes apparent. The New Testament writers use no less than 5 words to describe our sin, my sin, and your sin. The amartia, the missing of the mark, the failing to meet God's standard as we find it in Scripture. The adikia, our unrighteousness, our human sinfulness. The poneria, the evil within our hearts and our minds. The parabasis, our transgressions against God. And this is an active word, our actively stepping over the line that God has set. And then the anomia, our disregard for God's law. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sometime later wrote the gospel writer John, knowing that all was complete, that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus cried out, tetelestai, which means it is finished. In other words, the debt of sin has been paid in full. That debt of shame has been paid. On Friday, we reflect. Our sin must be extremely horrible. The gravity of our sin, friends, is my sin and your sin, is revealed at the cross of Calvary. First, our sin must be extremely horrible. Second, the love of God is beyond comprehension. Friends, can we understand this enormous love of God in Jesus Christ? And then third, Jesus' salvation is a free gift. He purchased it for us at the high price of His own blood. It's Friday. It's Friday. Of Jesus, He's enjoying a meal at the house of Simon the Pharisee. The door opens and there's a woman of ill repute, a prostitute, looked down on in society. She's a nothing. She's a rubbish as far as the people are concerned. This woman of ill repute stands at the door, her eyes full of shame. And she goes and she kneels at Jesus' feet. And as the eyes of condemnation look on her, she breaks the alabaster jar full of sweet perfume and begins to wipe Jesus' feet. Friends, how often are we just like that? We're living in shame and disgrace. We are living on Friday. But Jesus looks at her like only God can do. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Only the grace of God can do that. Only the grace of Jesus can do that. Only Sunday can do that. Friday has passed and Sunday has come. And the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 10 and verse 11, as the scripture says, anyone who puts their trust in Him will never be put to shame. Listen to that. As the scriptures says, Anyone, anyone. Not somebody, not the elders, not the holy people in society, but anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Paul continues in a great verse of chapter of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Everyone, not some or a few, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And friends, that was the Apostle Paul's very testimony. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. But Saul was renamed Paul the Apostle. He discovered the love and the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy of Easter Sunday. Amen. May we say it with the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. The good news of Jesus, in other words, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the what? The power, let's shout it out, the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed, for I know I've believed and I'm confident of his keeping power. It is Sunday. It is Sunday. It is Sunday. The word of God calls out to you, Isaiah 55 and verse 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Friday has passed. And Sunday has come. Let me put it a different way. Friday has come and Friday has gone and now it's Sunday. And Jesus said in John 10 and 10 and verse 10, the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Friday has passed and Sunday has come. As we close, the question stands. Are you living on Friday or are you living on Sunday? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that on this day, we can declare he is risen. Lord, as we reflect on this great truth, the question comes to us. Are we living under the curse and condemnation of the law? Or are we living under the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ on Sunday? Father, we thank you that you've come to give us life and for us to experience the fullness of life. Father, we thank you that you do not call us to live under condemnation, but to live under the grace of forgiveness. And friends, while our heads are bowed, perhaps you are living in condemnation. You see, Satan accuses, but God forgives. Maybe you're a Christian, you're sitting here today, but you're filled with guilt and the struggle of guilt and condemnation. I've got good news for you. Jesus has come to wipe clean that slate that you might live in the freedom of grace. If you're struggling with that this morning, won't you pray, Lord Jesus, help me to live in the freedom of Sunday, of Jesus' grace at the cross. You see, there's no condemnation in those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you claim that for yourself? The grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Won't you claim that for yourself? Not just to be saved, but friends, to live in freedom, because that is why Jesus has died, to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Won't you claim that right now if you're living in condemnation? Because Jesus doesn't want you to be there. Then perhaps, whether at church or at home, it's great to have those who are at home with us. Maybe you've never come to a point of claiming Sunday, of claiming the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord, the Spirit of God is tugging at your soul right now. And you want to say this morning, Lord, I want to become a child of God. I want to experience that grace and mercy and forgiveness. Won't you pray that right now, that Lord Jesus, I want to claim that grace, that Sunday. I want to live in that grace on Sunday. Won't you become my Savior and my Lord? Won't you forgive my sin and cleanse me from within? You see, Lord, I claim that verse, Romans 10 and verse 11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Friend, if you're not a Christian, won't you pray that right now? Lord Jesus, I claim that gift. I claim it now. Father, we thank you. We can celebrate you this morning. We thank you for this Easter Sunday. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that you teach us to rest in you. Lord, help us to find rest. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen.